Good morning. I am Commissioner Deanna Keller, Port of Tacoma President, calling to order a regular meeting of the Port of Tacoma Commission on September 7th, 2023. The time is now 10 o'clock a.m. Also present are Commissioners Ang, John McCarthy, Dick Marzano, and Don Myers, so we have a quorum. Our meeting is being held at the Fabulous Center and is being streamed live on the meeting page of the Port of Tacoma's website at www.portoftacoma.com. The commission will now recess into an OPMA exempt closed special order of business to discuss a labor collective bargaining agreement until 10:30 a.m. And then at 10:30 a.m., the commission will recess into an executive session to discuss two potential property acquisition items, RCW 42.30.110 sub 1 sub B, one item of potential property acquisition, RCW 42.30.110 sub 1 sub B, and potential litigation, RCW 42.30.110 sub 1 sub I. And lastly, one potential litigation item, RCW 42.30.110 sub 1 sub I. The public session will resume at 12 o'clock p.m. Thank you. Good afternoon. This is Commission President Deanna Keller. The time is now 12:01 p.m. We were in an executive session from 10:34 a.m. to 11:22 p.m. to discuss two potential property acquisition items, RCW 42.30.110 sub 1 sub B, one item of potential property acquisition, RCW 42.30.110 sub 1 sub B, and potential litigation, RCW 42.30.110 sub 1 sub I, and one potential litigation item, RCW 42.30.110 sub 1 sub I. Let's please begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We acknowledge that we are on the traditional homelands of the Puyallup tribe. The Puyallup people have lived on and stewarded these lands since the beginning of time and continue to do so today. We recognize that this land acknowledgement is one small step toward allyship, and we commit to uplifting the voices, experiences, and histories of the indigenous people of this land and beyond. So this brings us now to item number two, which is approval of the agenda. Our next item is to, is there anyone who would like to make any further changes to the posted agenda? Seeing no hands, today's agenda is approved without change. And next we have the Executive Director's Report. I'm going to call on Executive Director Eric Johnson.
Thank you, Madam President. For the record, Eric Johnson, Executive Director. Just a couple of quick items to mention. One is, many of you were there, but I want to note that we had a very successful study session with the Pierce County Council earlier this week. I believe it was Tuesday. And that was a great event where we talked about climate impact issues and things that we're doing for air quality. And that meeting was a lot of work to put together. I want to thank Mr. Matthew Maurer for the effort that he put in behind the scenes on that effort to pull that together. And I hope we can see more of those kinds of study sessions with other local governments in the future. I'll note that we had a group of interns at the port this summer who have been doing great work. They are wrapping up their summer work experience these days, giving us little reports individually on what they learned, and it's been a great crew of young people to work with, and we're going to miss them. I will note that we're having Economic Development Board is having a tour of the port next Thursday. EDB investors are doing a bus tour, and it's a full bus. And they're going to be, I think some of you might be actually on that trip, so looking forward to that. On a somber note, I want to note that Ralph Close's memorial service will be next Wednesday afternoon at the Port Atrium at 5 o'clock, and you're all welcome to come to that event and remember Ralph. And then in closing, I will note we have a birthday today. Lisa Praskovich has a big birthday. I won't tell you what number it is, but it's evenly divisible by 10. So it's also evenly divisible by 5. So if you're good at, math, I just gave it out. So happy birthday, Elisa. Commissioner McCarthy's birthday was last Friday. So we wish him happy birthday as well. I think he's a little older than that one. And that's it. That's the end of my report.
Thank you very much. So this now brings us to public comments. And as a reminder, comment time is limited to 3 minutes per person. Clerk, is anyone signed up? And is there anyone in the audience who would be interested in providing some public comment? Well, seeing none, that concludes the public comment portion of our meeting. The next item is our consent agenda, and items on the consent agenda are considered routine and taken up by one motion and vote unless any commissioner requests an item be removed for individual consideration. The consent agenda consists of approval of the minutes from August 15th, 2023, and Resolution 2023-14-PT, which is surplus of obsolete Brahma components. Are there any requests to remove items from the consent agenda for further discussion? Seeing none, I would like to call for a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented. So Commissioner Meyer and then Commissioner Ang is a second. Are there any questions, comments, or amendments? Seeing none, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? Motion passes unanimously. This is now, we're on commission actions. This is the business section of the meeting where items are brought forth by commissioners or staff that require a commission vote. This is item number A. And I'd like next-gen finance and procurement implementation authorization. I'm going to call on Aaron Galino, Mark Miller, and Martin Adamson.
Just by way of introduction, Madam President, this is an procurement an effort that's been, you've seen the preliminary briefings on this twice, I believe, and I put some information in your memo last week. We're giving you a lot of information on this because it's a fairly big project. It's not cheap. But it does wrap up a lot of legacy software programs that we've been running. We're basically, I guess it's safe to say we're simplifying into a more sophisticated and streamlined suite of software that replaces a whole bunch of different software packages that we've collected over the years. And I think that's probably the best way to explain that. And Aaron, are you going to lead off?
I'm going to kick us off.
Okay.
So we're here to request commission authorization for the next-gen project implementation. This is master ID 101618.01 with costs not to exceed $2,450,000, which will result in a total project cost of $2,850,000. As a reminder, you know, over the course of the last 14, 15 months, we've been coming before the commission in public briefings, sharing with you the intent of this project, how it really fit into the long-term strategy of our renewal of our and upgrade of our systems. We came to you early this year and talked a little bit about the costs, and we anticipated that the total costs would be somewhere in the range of $2 to $3 million, which is now, as we're a little further into it, are still in that range. Then we came before you in March and asked for the initial funding portion that's included in this total authorization to move forward with the design and some of the prototyping. And now we're here to ask for the rest of the funding to move forward for full implementation.
Good afternoon, commissioners. My name is Martin Adamson. I'm the senior manager of enterprise applications in the IT department. I just wanted to give you a little bit of background here and how we got to this point of the project. So back in 2008, about 15 years ago, we implemented our current core financial system, Microsoft Dynamics GP. And that was at a cost of about $1.5 million. And that, again, it was core financials, the general ledger, accounts receivable, accounts payable, et cetera, the kind of core components of a financial system. And we've used that system well for 15 years, but it is reaching the end of its usable life. And we believe this is the right time to replace it so that we can continue to support the port's operations. We implemented an enterprise application strategy that we developed two or three years ago. And that was really focused on replacing GP with a more modern platform, Microsoft Dynamics 365 Finance and Operations. I think it's important to note as well that it's not a complete like-for-like replacement. The new platform, the new software system will be used for other functions as well beyond those core financial components that I listed up above. Just to go a little bit deeper with that and define some of the challenges that we face with the systems that we have today and then some of the benefits that we will get from the new platform. So because we have the core system and then several other systems to manage all the financial functions, it means that there's some gaps and often they're handled by having spreadsheets containing data outside the systems, or there are manual processes that are used to kind of address some of those deficiencies. And then the data within those systems is in different places, it's siloed. And that leads to some challenges with reporting and integrations between those systems. And again, it all works and staff do a great job of making sure that we are able to perform our work well, but it's not necessarily optimal. The new platform is going to be a bit different. It's very modern and very current software. It's cloud-based, and again, it is an enterprise resource planning platform. It does a lot. There's a lot of capabilities within a software system like that. The major functions that finance use, they're going to be in that one common system, common database, and it really improves the overall financial processes. And that includes the reporting, which is obviously very important to make sure we're tracking properly. And then the integrations between systems are obviously reduced, and it makes it much easier for staff to be efficient in their work.
And here's really the purpose of this slide is to really give you a representation of the impact across organizations. So this is, as we've talked about, it's not an IT project. It is really a enterprise-wide project. So Mark Miller and I are co-sponsoring this effort. And then we have a steering committee that really cross against around finance, engineering, accounting, contracts and procurement, and IT to really make sure that we're covering all of the areas that it impacts. And then we are partnering with our third-party CRO in terms of project management. And I think that one of the key successes that I see in this one is that we've got really strong project management and a really strong third-party provider that's partnering with our organization. And then the bottom section is really the vast number of people that have been engaged in this to really make sure we understand the key part of this, understanding the as-is, but also the to-B processes, so that we make sure where we're automating in the right ways, that we have data flowing in systems the way we need to. And a big element of this is really around, it isn't just around accurate and timely reporting, it's also about compliance. Because where you have manual processes, especially with financial data or procurement data, you run a higher risk of error or non-compliance. And as a public agency, it's critical that where we can, that we ensure that we have the right data and we're reporting on the right data. And this is a visual representation of kind of where we started out. As you know, we gave you a little bit about reminder of when we've come before you, but this is really the cycle that we kicked off earlier this year. There's been tremendous work, and now here we are in the September timeframe where we're going to transition out of really the design and prototyping and into the development and then into the implementation in phase two.
We need to cover really what the scope of this project entails. And you can see there's two sections to this table here. The top section, these are the primary functions that our current system performs. And obviously we're replacing all those in the new platform as well. And below the shaded line in the middle are all the additional functions that are going to be part of the new system. And you can see that there's we call them business scenarios or requirements, the processes that the system is going to perform. And you can see that about half of those are replacing current functions, and half of them are replacing are implementing new functions within the core system that were performed in a different way today. And I'll go into that on the next slide. So a large scope to the project and covering a lot of ground. So this is the kind of expanded set of information relating to the prior slide. So these are all the new things that are currently not done in the financial system that we're going to be able to benefit from moving forward. So just to very quickly run through them, core procurement, so our purchasing, that's going to be in the same system as our accounts payable. That makes that a really efficient process, especially compared to today. Contract management and will be in that same system as well. Again, project controls and contract controls are more effective when managed that way. Debt management, again, record keeping and controls benefits there. Vendor collaboration, there'll be some self-service capabilities so that some of that work is taken off of staff. Then, you know, risk management function, the case and claims management, that is in a third-party tool today. That will be part of the system, and that's important because often the end result of one of those claims is a payment, so that makes sense to be in the financial system. And CIP, or the Capital Improvement Program, the budget for our big projects, and that will be managed in this system, and all the controls and record-keeping benefits will be there. And then I think a really important one, grant management. We obviously big focus on grants and some new staff hired for managing grants, and they will be working within that same platform and connected directly to the financial and control elements of grant management.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. Mark Miller, the IT Director. This slide shares the project phases down below. So you approved us to undertake phase one planning and design in March. We worked on business operations reviews, conceptual design, and then prototyping. We've now completed that, and we're here today to request approval for phase two implementation. The components of that are detailed design, development, testing, validation, training, and implementation go live. This slide is similar to the one you saw on planning and design. It shows that the schedule has us working for 5 months on technical design, development, and testing. Then we will transition into, for 2.5 months, a conference room pilot, which is really user acceptance testing. Then you can see training and go live. We're targeting a go live for July 1st of 2024.
And here is a financial summary that again mentions the first request was a contract authorization for $400,000. We folded that into this total project authorization request of the $2,850,000. And these types of projects are not capitalized projects, so they are expensed as incurred, so they will be part of the operating part of the income statement. We'll be expensing these as the costs occur. We have reflected these in our budget, and also these costs are part of that you see here are part of the IT department, and the IT provides services for the NWSA, and the allocation percentage is approximately 64%. So 64% of these costs will flow to the NWSA because the NWSA buys really all of its technology, financial, accounting, procurement services from the home port, so it's reasonable that they share in these costs. And with that, we're back to the request to authorize the NextGen project implementation, master ID 101618.01, with costs not to exceed $2,450,000, which will result in a total project cost of $2,850,000.
Great, thank you.
And we'll go to questions.
And I'd like to ask for a motion and a second.
So move.
Second.
Okay. Commissioner Marzano with a motion and Commissioner Ng with the second. So at this time, are there any questions for the team? Commissioner Meyer.
Yes, thank you. One of the things that I'm always concerned about in terms of new systems is the level of support and called useful life. Can you talk to us a little bit about expectations around that? And the reason I'm concerned, I think I understand your phase two implementation and the detail you've provided with us today, But I also know that, I'm assuming that Crow LLC is going to be there. Talk to us a little bit about either your research on them in terms of that support area, because I've been involved in some system changes myself, and they always start out with a good story, but then you wonder, how did you end up in the reality of the world? But oftentimes, I think it's, what's your level of comfort in terms of the support that Crow will provide to you, and then the useful life of the system? Because this is a lot of money.
Why don't you start with support?
Sure. So just a reminder, commissioners, that we had a competitive RFP process. Okay. We were down to two finalists. Crow was the selected finalist. They're a national mid-market accounting firm with a consulting arm, and they have a practice in the public sector. They've done 30 of these implementations, and we have included in the RFP ongoing support costs. So they had to bid competitively for providing support after go live. In the contract, they have 90 days of support after go live, and then we can continue to modify and enhance the system after that. And they have a good track record. We did our reference calls with existing customers, and our engagement with them and planning and design has been very good.
What about useful life of the system itself?
So I will say that I've been here almost 14 years, and 14 years ago was when the port was moving to Great Plains. And as you look at really the life cycle, 15 years is a long time, but I would say in our business, our size of business, separate and away from what the county, because again, we're expensing this, but I would say we're probably good for another 10 to 15 years before we need to look at this lift. Now, a couple of those small applications like the claims management, which is what, Claim Jumper, 20 plus years old, yep. On an Access 20, database.
25 at least.
Yeah, so there's a few things there that we're retiring. Some of these things we were doing on spreadsheets. And so really when you're looking, yes, it is a significant investment, but the way we're doing it and how we're integrating this, I would say that we definitely the next 10 to 15 years before we'd have to look at a heavy lift again.
Thank you.
Other questions? Seeing none, I'll call for the vote. So all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed by saying nay. Thank you. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Next, we have item B, the ILA with the City of Fife Funds Transfer, I-5 and Port of Tacoma Road, and Matthew Maurer.
Good afternoon, commissioners. For the record, Matthew Maurer, Government Affairs Manager for the Port of Tacoma. I am here today to request approval of an interlocal agreement between the Port of Tacoma and the City of Fife. This will formally commit us to contributing up to $2 million for phase two of the Port of Tacoma I-5 interchange project. As a reminder, this supports strategic goal TA1. This is one of two projects that were specifically called out in the strategic plan, the transportation project. It was this as well as completing 167. A little bit of a background. Back in 2005 is when the first funding for this came through. At that time, the Port of Tacoma contributed $1.5 million. In 2021, this project was added to our strategic plan, as I just mentioned before. In 2022, the Move Ahead Washington package was passed, completing the funding, or most of the funding for this project. We then had a study session with the City of Fife where they then asked us for an additional contribution of $2 million during that study session. This project was again added to our bridge and road priorities that we recently passed, or that you recently passed, excuse me. And then we, before the end of last year, passed resolution 2022-20-PT, which committed the funds to the City of Fife. That way we are able to peg it to last year's accounting, and then it authorized us to seek an ILA with the City of Fife for the formal contribution of the funds. A little bit of a background, just for everyone's education. The project is a multi-phase plan to improve Interstate 5 Port of Tacoma Road interchange. The overall interchange reconfiguration would create a one-way couplet by adding a new bridge over I-5 at 34th Avenue East to carry northbound traffic, while the existing bridge at Port of Tacoma Road will be converted to a one-way southbound. Locating the new southbound exit ramp from I-5 closer to the freeway and farther from Pacific Highway will eliminate tight turns for trucks and avoid interference with the intersection of Port of Tacoma Road and Pacific Highway. This is a background of the funding that the City of Fife has been able to secure. The first group here is a phase one was $44.6 million. The second phase, you can see here, this does not include our $2 million contribution. Again, the ILA would formally commit us to up to $2 million for a total cost of $3.5 million that the port will be contributing. In the ILA that you should have in your packet, we did indicate that this would be a last dollars for the City of Fife, so they are obligated in the ILA to expend all of their other grant dollars first before seeking reimbursement by the Port of Tacoma. Just a financial summary, as again I mentioned before, we contributed $1.5 million already. This additional $2 million will give us a total of $3.5 million. Next steps, obviously, if this were to be approved, the Port of Tacoma staff would review all invoices coming in from the City of Fife to ensure compliance with the ILA and then give them reimbursement as appropriate. Last, seeking approval of the ILA with the City of Fife, contributing up to $2 million for the Port of Tacoma I-5 road interchange.
Thank you. I'd like to call for a motion and a second.
Second it.
Commissioner Hang and then Commissioner Meyer. Any questions for Matthew? Commissioner Hang.
Well, thank you, Matthew, Mr. Maurer. I also said that I really enjoyed our joint meetings so far with government entities, particularly our first one with the City of Fife, in which this $2 million request and acceptance from us to give $2 million for the I-5 Port of Tacoma exchange, as well, I thought it was very productive in that it also resulted in us supporting the Fife Jobs program to have job training and housing for those experiencing homelessness. So I'm really enjoying these joint meetings that we're having with government entities, and I'm really glad that this project's moving on. I'd just like to thank our chairs of transportation, Jake Fye, and Representative Jake Fye and Senator Marco Elias for getting this Move Ahead program in 2022, and my fellow Commissioner John McCarthy, because I saw FIMCIV here, also contribute over $16 million, of which Commissioner McCarthy helps lead that particular group, the Freight Mobility Investment Board. So I'm glad that this project is moving on and helping us out.
Thank you. Other comments? Commissioner Meyer.
Yes, thank you. Just a couple of comments that I think following up a little bit on what Kristen, our Commissioner Ng, indicated, and that is, you know, the thing that blows me away about this project is this is a project about a little city that could. Here we have the City of Fife making major improvements to the I-5 interstate corridor, normally handled perhaps by Washington Department of Transportation. And so kudos to the City of Fife in addition to the other items that you've mentioned previously. Just a couple of points of clarification that I want to be clear of is on this color map, what is the stuff in red, are those all part of this project?
Correct. Phase one is blue. Phase two is red. So there's no bridge yet, right? They'll be constructing a brand new bridge over I-5 to connect 34th to go all the way by, you know, the other side of the Love's truck stop, and then other improvements on the south side of Fife for the interchange to get folks from the other side of Fife to the other side of Fife.
And I'm also happy to see, I think, improvements on Highway 99 there in terms of, I'm assuming that's some kind of an improvement for curb cuts and that sort of thing?
I believe so, yes. A lot of those have already been completed, as you see in blue, the ones when you're going, taking a ride onto 34th to go on the other side of Love's. Oh, I got a little thing here, don't I? oh, I don't know how it works. Oh, there it goes. So those have already been completed. Yes, those improvements for the intersection for trucks turning right. And then this will be a part of this phase two project, again, for easier access for the trucks to take a right. But this will all be one way here. So this is us at the Fabulous, right? This will entirely be a one-way road once this is all done.
Very good. Well, anyway, I'm just happy to be supporting this project. I think we all are. I think it's a long time coming, and it's an integral part of the entrance and exit for the Port of Tacoma. So thank you, Matt.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Commissioner Marzano.
Yeah, just a little bit of a follow-up. I think it's critically important. Don had mentioned the fact of the little city of Fife. The little city of Fife has broad shoulders and takes on a lot of responsibility. But if you look at where the money came from, it came from nine different entities. Mm-hmm. But with that came the support from those different entities to say, this is critical for moving not just freight, but it helps move POBs too. So a job well done.
Thank you. Any others? So this is another great example of governmental entities working together for our constituents, and we can get a lot more done together than separately. So thank you for your report. So seeing no other comments, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Motion carries. Next is item C, ILA with Bethel School District. Augmented Arc Aluminum Welding System, and Leslie Barstow.
And just by way of introductions, commissioners, the master policy resolution of the port requires all interlocal agreements with another governmental entity, regardless of size, need to be approved by the commission. And so we've got a couple here that are relatively small, but we're bringing them to you because they are an ILA. And Leslie's going to explain how the workforce relationship is between these rather fun projects and the Port of Tacoma.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, commissioners. Leslie Barstow, Community Relations and Workforce Development Manager for the Port of Tacoma. So the first one we have to talk to you about, in the right place here, is the ILA between Bethel School District and the Port of Tacoma. I am here to request authorization for the executive director or his designee to enter into an interlocal agreement with the Bethel School District, authorizing $14,250 towards the purchase of the augmented arc, augmented reality welding system to teach aluminum welding at the Pierce County Skills Center. As a way of background, this is when the commission added 25% to the workforce development budget. Those funds came to $42,500 and they were unspecified. So the commission's workforce development committee, which includes commissioners Ang and Keller, requested that staff reach out to Clover Park's Advanced Manufacturing Center and the Pierce County Skills Center to see if perhaps they had certification programs similar to Tacoma Public Schools, which the port could help support. The Pierce County Skills Center identified aluminum welding was something they would really like to teach, but it's expensive because they'd go through an awful lot of aluminum while the students made mistakes. They found a system, however, where the students could learn aluminum welding virtually. And it's very realistic. And after we checked with several port tenants and basically said, hey, if they taught it this way, would you hire those students if they had those skills? And they said yes. So they took that back to the Workforce Development Committee and determined that it was worth investing in. So once again, I am here to request authorization for the executive director or his designee to enter into an interlocal agreement with the Bethel School District, authorizing $14,250 towards the purchase of the augmented arc augmented reality welding system to teach aluminum welding at the Pierce County Skills Center.
Thank you. Do we have a motion and a second?
So moved.
Commissioner Meyer and Commissioner McCarthy. Any questions or comments for Leslie?
Thank you, Commissioner Keller. This is absolutely exactly what we should be doing, and I'm very pleased that the Port Commission is looking at this sort of capability, because when I think about the early business center and the businesses down there, this is exactly what they need. I appreciate the fact that you did research on to say, you know, virtual training versus the real thing. Does it really work? And apparently you did that research and said, yes, it will. You know, the main thing is, will they hire them?
Yeah.
And to me, that's the proof of the pudding.
We connected the instructor with our attendants to have a conversation.
So I enthusiastically endorse this request.
Thank you. Other comments? Thank you for all your research on this, Leslie. So all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. And opposed by saying nay. Thank you. Next item, and we're not going to let Leslie go. So item D, ILA with Clover Park Technical College, CNC plasma table and testing certification fees.
So once again, I am here today to request authorization for the executive director or his designee to enter into an interlocal agreement with Clover Park Technical College for $28,250. $21,500 of these funds would go towards the purchase of a CNC plasma table for the school's advanced manufacturing school, and $6,750 would support the Siemens Mechatronic System Certification Program fees. So the same background, we had that $42,500 to work with. So you know how the Skills Center responded. What the Clover Park Technical College came back to the Workforce Development Committee with was four options of things that they thought we could help them with. And from those four things, the Workforce Development Committee, which includes Commissioners Keller and Ng, selected this machine and the certification fees, which proved to be a barrier. Once they got their people who were in the advanced manufacturing school, that $150 just to get their certification was a barrier for some of the students. And this is a machine that the school was missing in all of the other machines they had. And it's actually kind of a key machine because they do teach 2 and 3D manufacturing there, but they don't have the machine that they need to actually process those things. So from the list of four things that they told us that we could help with, these were two that they chose. So this is the first one, that's the actual machine. And then this is a breakdown of the certifications that the students can get. Each one is a $150 fee to get their license and take their certification. So our investment of $6,750 removes that barrier for 45 individuals. So once again, I am here today to request authorization for the executive director or his designee to enter into an interlocal agreement with Clover Park Technical College for $28,250. $21,500 of these funds going towards the purchase of the CNC plasma table for the school's advanced manufacturing school, and $6,750 will support the Siemens Mechatronic System Certification Program fees.
Thank you. Do we have a motion and a second?
Also move. Second.
Commissioner McCarthy and then Commissioner Marzano. Any questions, comments? Yes, Commissioner McCarthy.
I support this for the same reason that has been mentioned earlier by others with regard to the other. I'm curious though, we're moving forward with our Maritime Skill Center with the Tacoma School District and working with Clover Park Technical School and the previous Skill Center. Have you had an opportunity to kind of talk about that with them? I'm curious as to their knowledge of it or interest in it or any conversations in that respect?
I have not talked with them about that, but what's really interesting that I discovered as we were having these conversations is that these two schools work very closely together. In fact, when we were visiting the advanced manufacturing school, the instructor we were meeting with actually had to leave the meeting to go to the Pierce County Skills Center because he was meeting with the instructor there. So they work very, very closely together. And that's actually creating a bit of a pipeline for Clover Park students to come to the Advanced Manufacturing School. So that was pretty cool to see that they're actually working that closely together, those two schools, and supporting each other in that way. And I have to say, this $42,500, there's conversation going on that committee now with these two commissioners about rolling that up into the $150,000 RFP that we've been proposing that we want to put out for to a third party for next year, because it was a little bit challenging to figure out what to do with that $42,500 that was undesignated this year. But you're getting a lot of bang for that $42,500 this year. And what we're doing with it, if you're approving these two things, I think it's going a really long way, and it's going to help a lot of people.
Commissioner Hay.
I just want to thank Leslie and Sean, the Community Relations and Government Relations, for really putting in the time, energy, research, and engaging our community on ways the port can best enhance the workforce development that's in our area that makes sense and also has that pipeline of workers and skills for our companies on the Tide Flats, which I know is added to what you already do, but thank you. And I know that this is just the beginning, so there will be more work ahead.
Yes, there will.
Thank you.
Yes, again, thank you, Leslie, so much for all the work that you've done with all of this, and really appreciate it. I remember last year when we added that 25% more in the budget, commissioners wanted to make sure that they knew what that was going to go for. So this is, again, what that's going for. And also as a reminder to the public and to commissioners, we just approved this workforce development strategic plan just last year and put it into the budget. And here we go. We're realizing the good effects of that. So thank you. With no further comments, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Passes unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you.
Item E, which is international travel approval. I'm going to call on Elisa Praskovich, the birthday girl.
Okay, remember how to find my way.
All right, good afternoon. For the record, Elise Praskovich, Chief of Strategic Projects and Commission Relations. Today we're here to talk about commission approval for proposed international travel that carries us through the end of the year. There's two trips, and I understand there might be an amendment to the first one here. The first one was a trip to Vietnam, customer visit sponsored by the World Trade Center, and I believe Commissioner McCarthy is going to make some comments about that trip actually not happening. The second trip, which is overlaps at the same time, November 1st through the 10th, is one sponsored by the Washington Governor Inslee's office, and it's comprised mainly of Department of Commerce and a significant number of the governor's staff, some educational institution folks as well, and that's really framed as a study and trade mission to talk about business-to-business relationships, trade, supporting national defense, some other educational and tourism type of endeavors as well. And that's taking place November 1st through the 10th. And then, as we always do in this case, just customer visits as needed to carry us through the rest of the year. So that's the brief action there, and I'm happy to take any questions.
So I'd like to call for a motion and a second, and then we'll go into conversations. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Commissioner Ng, second. There is no second, so the motion does not carry,
well,
but I know we have conversation.
Sure, if I could explain, with regard to the trip to Vietnam that World Trade Center was organizing, they asked the board to participate last year and their mission to Vietnam. And of course, the port funds the World Trade Center, and we do what we can to help them accomplish their mission. I know I had to cancel that last year, but even though I had to cancel my visit, they scheduled a presentation by me on Zoom 3 hours in the middle of the night. But it actually turned out pretty well, and it helped Mike Fowler in their mission. For this year, he asked as well that we participated, and originally I told him that I would be interested, yes, if I could participate. We've gotten information recently, though, that the trade part of the trip is really not going to take place. It's more industry, education, and perhaps City of Tacoma relationships. And those relationships are really very, very important, but I had expressed to him, I know that I wasn't interested at that time, and I know the Northwest Seaport Alliance is looking for opportunities with regard to Vietnam and some trade work there, which I strongly support, because Vietnam obviously is a very important part of what's happening in terms of trade with us. So I'm not sure, and my understanding was that no other commissioners were available for the Vietnam trip, so I guess the reason I didn't second is I don't know, Madam Chair, if you prefer to have a motion that doesn't include that or that includes that. That's
Commissioner Meyer.
Yes, thank you. The reason I didn't second it is because I think I concur with Commissioner McCarthy on the Vietnam customer visits. I think there's one that's up and coming next year through the alliance that has some of our customers and the railroads going potentially to Vietnam. So I think Vietnam can be targeted for next year. Australian trade mission, when I looked at the agenda, I didn't see a lot of trade on that. But I do believe, and I support item three, and I'd like to move item three, customer visits, international customer visits as needed through the end of this year. I'd like to move that.
Commissioner Hay.
Well, I proposed it simply because I did want to have a discussion about our international travel. And while none of us seems to be going on any of these trips, I'm not going on Australia or Vietnam. I did want to have a discussion about our particular reputation about international travel and our international presence and reputation. And, you know, the participation, whether that's IMO or other organizations, are putting the Port of Tacoma out there. Beyond just trade, of course, that's our primary is trade. But if we are going to redevelop areas for marine tech, clean tech, type of infrastructure, is to be more involved in these particular trips with the governor, with other organization in Washington State, that we do want to participate, but at the same time, we also want to be strategic on how we use our funds and our time as commissioners and as staff, you know, bringing them along. So I did want to put that out there. That we're not saying no to everything, to the public or to our partners, our economic development partners. It's just that we do have a Vietnam trip scheduled next year to increase our market share, you know, for this emerging market. And it's just that we didn't find this as strategic for our time at this moment.
Commissioner McCarthy, and then Commissioner Meyer, and then Commissioner Marzano.
I do support us, if anyone is available, to participate in the Australian trip with the governor and Department of Commerce and others. And I think we need to take the time to do some of these things because, quite frankly, a trip that I took 5 years ago that Commissioner Meyer asked me to take to Copenhagen with regard to bicycles, if you will, in relation to traffic construction and I attended that. It's a lot of it's about the relationships you build. And I spent 6 days with Roger Millar, the Secretary of Department of Transportation, and with one of the tribal council members, with the mayor of the city of Tacoma, the mayor of Fife, the mayor of Puyallup. And the relationships, I can tell you honestly, particularly with regard to the secretary, I think had a very important impact on his efforts on Highway 167, which we've been pursuing. So it's not just about the trade discussions, but it's the relationship building that I think is significant. So, and I'm not sure if anybody's available. So, I mean, my preference would be, I do know that no one's available for Vietnam and there's an opportunity in the future, but my preference would be to adopt a motion that authorizes that in case someone's available.
Commissioner Meyer?
I'd like to move that we authorize customer visits, international customer visits as needed.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any conversations with regard to that?
Yes, I'm just wondering if I can, let's see, what's the appropriate motion? Is it a motion to amend, or is, if I want to add something to that motion?
If I could I make a comment?
Move to amend the motion.
Pardon me?
Move that the motion be amended.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I was just, to make it easier, can't we just vote on them individually? That's what I was really proposing, is we vote on them individually. Then that way, if somebody wants to move item two, you can move it.
Commissioner Keller, if you don't mind, again, Heather Burgess for the record, Port Legal Counsel. There's been a kind of a flurry of motion activity, and for the clerk's benefit, I just wanted to capture what we think we've heard so far so that she's capturing an accurate record before you proceed further. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay, so I heard a motion from Commissioner Ng as to the original, which died for a lack of a second.
Yeah.
And then I thought I heard the word move from Commissioner Meyer regarding customer trips as needed, but there was no call for and discussion of a second, so I think that one is also currently dead.
I thought there was a second.
And then the third motion that came about.
There was a second.
There was a second.
Commissioner Marzano.
Right, but in your first colloquy, you said, "I move."
Yes.
But then you came back and did it again. So I heard two times. So I think the second one died, and then the third one got seconded by Commissioner Marzano, and that's what you're currently discussing.
This is a test.
Yes.
And now Commissioner McCarthy would like to amend that motion to do something else potentially.
No, you're embarrassing me after that.
No. Well, that wasn't intended to be embarrassing. It was intended because I got a side eye from Helen about helping her, make sure that we were all tracking for the record. Is that, are we good now? Clerk?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Yes, all right. Okay, thank you.
Well, my
motion. One more time.
I think we're going to get to the same result, but my motion was to amend Commissioner Meyer's motion, which authorized customer visits, to amend it to include the Australia Trade Mission with the Governor's Office, Department of Commerce, and other officials. That was my motion to amend.
Okay, thank you.
Do we have a second on that one?
A second and a nice comment.
Commissioner Ng?
I seconded, and I thought about it, what Commissioner McCarthy said about relationships and who we meet. And I often think about where these companies on, and when we meet business, we often meet business executives, government people, and who do they think about when they transfer their businesses to, or who do they contact, is the people that they meet on these trips. I'm often, when I go on a conference, I'm contacted by like the offshore wind people, different clean tech, because I attended something, and then they bring their people out to me here in Washington State. And then they think about placing businesses in Tacoma, in Pierce County. So sometimes I do feel like when we're not at the table, we're missing out maybe on these business relationships and business opportunities to bring back to Washington State, to our particular area. Because sometimes when Seattle goes on there, then they just think of Seattle area or the greater Seattle area, not necessarily the greater Tacoma Pierce County area as a place to put their business, simply because they were the ones there. And that is the point that I just thought of, because you brought up the point of relationships and also who I'm speaking with regards to government affairs. It is usually not on this particular meeting that I make the relationships. It's usually because I've met them somewhere else. And so that is why I seconded, if somebody can go to these trips, then sure. But personally, I cannot, or I will not. So that is my second for that.
Other comments? So the motion on the floor is to, and it's Commissioner Meyer's motion as amended by Commissioner McCarthy, to approve items 2 and 3, the Australia Trade Mission and customer visits as needed. That's the motion on the floor.
Wait a minute. Could I ask a point of clarification?
Yes.
We're actually talking about an amendment before we can vote on the main motion. So really the one in front of us is the amendment by Commissioner McCarthy, right?
Thank you, you're right. So let's vote on Commissioner McCarthy's amendment to Commissioner Meyer's motion. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Opposed?
We have two opposed, Commissioner Meyer and Commissioner Marzano. So that amendment carries. So now the motion on the floor, as amended, is items two and three. Any other conversation about that? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries. Did we get that?
Sorry. The motion that carried three to two.
Amending.
Is the amendment.
Was the amendment.
That's to include items two and three.
Correct.
Was add item two to item three.
And as a point of clarification, approval of international travel doesn't obligate any particular commissioner to go on international travel. It just means that it's authorized.
I guess before we move along, Executive Director Johnson, can you tell the commission what you heard about with the attendee list for the governor's trip to Australia?
Yeah, I saw that list just this morning, updated list, and I won't be able to go through it all by memory. There were about 50 people on it, led by the governor, number of governor's staff. I was heavy with educational in Washington State University, University of Washington. There were no port commissioners going from any other port. There were two Port of Seattle staff on the list, both aviation staff, SeaTac Airport. Lance Lytle and Kazue Ishikawa were both there. That's an aviation marketing thing. That's my memory, but I can get you that easily enough. I just have it in my email. That's my recollection. It was not a lot of port folks except for SeaTac.
I think the other point of clarification is that when travel is approved, it's not just commission travel. That can also include staff, as you had mentioned as well. But usually that's part of the presentation. It's also important for the public to know that the commission has to approve any type of international travel by the Port of Tacoma, as per our bylaws.
For commissioners.
Just as a point of clarification, you're only talking about commissioners, not staff.
Correct.
Right? Okay.
But what I was trying to say, in general, it can also include staff, but it has to be approved by the commission. For instance, international travel, tell me if I'm wrong.
It's my understanding, and we can clarify this later, that the commissioner international travel must be approved by the commission.
Yes.
Staff international travel does not need to be approved by the commission. That staff can go internationally as needed.
Okay, thank you. Wasn't sure about that, so. All right.
Real quickly.
Yes, Commissioner Marzano.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff, very much. In the future, because we've had this discussion before and it's always gone to this type of level, on international trade, when we have more than one item, if we can make sure we handle them all singly.
Yes. Single,
so that way, because I know we did that just recently, not too long ago, where I had voted no, I wanted one to go, but one not to go, something like that. I think it's important that when staff brings it up, if they could just bring it up
we'll do them one at a time.
That'd be great. And if I could make a quick comment, because I didn't have time before, with regards to my no vote on Australia, I agree with the sentiments that Commissioner Ng and McCarthy brought up, but I find it kind of not in the realm of what we've usually done in the past. When we travel internationally, it's usually because there's a segment of the work that we are trying to promote that we do business with. When I looked at Australia and inquired a little bit more about it, the only thing we really do with Australia is export Caterpillar or John Deere or something, and it's not in any of the cities that we'll be going to. So I'm all for building relationships and things like this. I just don't think you need to fly 12,000 miles to do that, that's all.
Great, thank you. Anything else before we move on? Okay, item number seven, special order of business, and I'm gonna call upon Executive Director Eric Johnson on this one.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and coming towards the end of the meeting, I think you all know this already, but we wanted to make a public recognition of this. Our environmental planning and other staff received a significant, or the Port of Tacoma received a significant award, really on behalf of the work that was done by these staff. It's called the Phoenix Award. It's bestowed annually by the Environmental Protection Agency for the top brownfields redevelopment projects in each region. Our region, Region 10, includes four states. So this is a very prestigious award. Only one entity per region gets it, and it's for the cleanup that was done on, Rob, help me, the parcel number 14? Parcel 14, which is the area where the Wapato, Lower Wapato Creek Habitat Project is, as well as the big Prologis warehouses out there and so on. There was a lot of cleanup that preceded that project, old Asarco slag and some other things. It was a significant amount of effort over many, many years by a lot of people. And this award was given to us last month in Michigan. Commissioner Keller, as the president, attended that meeting, and here's a photo of it, and Rob can explain it just a little bit. I'm going to call Rob up to accept he's already accepted the award, but we're going to give it to him again, and explain just a little bit about what's going on here and thank the staff that are on that list. So, Rob, here's the award. I'm going to hand it to you like it's an Oscar.
Thank you, Eric. Yeah, this is a really interesting project. It actually, the vision for it had started before I got here at the port, but it was for all of Parcel 14. What was the port going to do for all of Parcel 14? And it started with the warehouse development. And we needed to do some cleanup before the warehouse development.
That's right.
And then it went to Wapato Creek. And we took we sold some of the dirt to WashDOT and put it on the other side of the warehouse development. It's very innovative, beneficial reuse. It was great, but we discovered we needed to do more cleanup as part of that. And that, of course, was right before construction. So it was very, very, very stressful for the team. I was very proud to accept this on behalf of the team, but it was very much a team effort, and the cleanup piece of it was really small compared to the whole thing. So permitting, habitat, construction. So I just want to thank the team. Dave was the engineer throughout. Stan Sasser was the lucky guy to discover the cleanup, the cleanup issues. Mark Rettman couldn't be here today, but he led our permitting and habitat. And then Heather Kerbo, of course. Well, she wrote the application for this.
All right.
And she also wrote the grant that we just received. So $300,000 from the Department of Ecology retroactively. It was a great team effort, so thank you. And thanks for the recognition.
Can we get a photo op with the
commissioners?
Come on up. Wow.
That was a view of the,
All we need is an orchestra.
Yeah.
Graham, which direction?
Oh, this will be perfect here, yes.
Just have them right in front of the bias. Yes.
Oh, thank you. I'm going to put that on the hood of my car.
So I just wanted to say, I was so proud, I think I said it last time too, but to be able to go there, I was standing in the back and I was videoing the entire presentation, and I felt like a mom with, you know, kids up on stage. So it was really great. It was an honor. It's just unfortunate that it takes so long to clean up these brownfields, but the team, you need to know, they're already planning what's our next Phoenix Award. And when is that going to happen? Which one is that, you know, what is it going to be? So it's a great award, and it inspires people want to do more. So thank you all for all that you've done. Next, we have item number 8, new business, non-action. Do we have any commissioners with an item they'd like to discuss or move forward as an action item to the next meeting? Seeing none, we're on committee reports. I do know that the Workforce Development Committee did meet, but we don't have a report yet. We need to meet again to present some information for you for at a later date. Next one is item number 10, issue briefings. Do we have any? Seeing none, we're down to commissioner announcements. Do we have any commissioners who wish to make an announcement? Commissioner Marzano?
This is not an announcement, it's just a comment, real quickly. First of all, the award that was just shown here is just a representation of the hard work that our staff does continuously, day in and day out. And a sincere thanks, I know, on behalf of the entire commission for all the work that you do. Second thing is that we had a, I think, a very productive meeting with Pierce County Council that Executive Director Johnson talked about. And in that, which was really critical, is the part of partnerships as we move forward. And I think if you look at the past history of anything that we've tried to accomplish with regards to cleanup, transportation project, you cannot do that alone. It's critically important to have these partnerships. I would encourage that we make this an annual event, not just with Pierce County Council, but look at the City of Tacoma, City of Fife, different entities, City of Puyallup, things like that. It's critically important that, because we do represent all of Pierce County, that they're aware of what our strategic plan and how we're moving forward and what can we do to help their businesses and help them in some of their problems. Because by working together, we accomplish a lot more. Thank you.
Yeah. On that point, just real quick, we are working to set up a parallel meeting with the City of Tacoma. That's already, Matthew's already working on that. So we're going to get that done as soon as we can.
Commissioner Ray?
I did just want to echo, I am very proud of our staff in the Port of Tacoma for winning the Oscars of the cleanup world of redevelopment. And I am looking at a double win, whether that's Arkema or Wheeler Osgood on the up and up. So I am looking for more wins for the port. So thank you all.
Other comments? Commissioner McCarthy?
Tying that into our last conversation, I was surprised to learn yesterday that one of the nominees of the International Association of Ports and Harbors for an environmental award is the Port of Seattle's work on the Duwamish, which is very, very important work. But I saw that and I thought, you know, our projects have been just outstanding. And maybe if we had been involved more in the International Association of Ports and Harbors, I know the Port of Seattle have representatives that participate on a regular basis. Maybe we could have waved that flag some more. So, but I think this is a, and these projects are worthy of future awards as well.
Thank you. Commissioner Meyer.
Yes, thank you. I guess what I'm interested in is at some point in time, maybe in a future agenda, is getting an update in terms of the sub-area planning process and the timelines associated with that. That's a very crucial policy document that I remain concerned, but I don't know what my concerns are at this stage of the game. And I think we haven't really talked as a commission about that very much. And I know we're getting progress reports, which I think is fine, but I think at some point in time, I'd like to get a public briefing on that topic if it would be appropriate. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Just wanting to also piggyback on the conversations about governmental entities getting together to do work studies together. It was valuable for us, especially with Pierce County. I want to thank you again, Matthew, for setting that up. I know it took some time for you to dog that and get that to go, but the interest that people have in our port, I don't think sometimes as commissioners we understand that. And even from Pierce County Council, I had Council Member Herrera asking, okay, where do you meet? I want to come to your meetings. What you do is absolutely fascinating. We hear that from our constituents on bus tours and things like that, but I don't think that we really understand and hear that our other elected officials, local elected officials, are doing what we do, but it's nice to be able to go out and hear what they're doing and for them to hear what we're doing as well. So I think it's just very valuable work, and I think it benefits our community, allows us to be able to share as economic developers what we can do to help our other local municipal governments as well. So I want to thank you for all the work that you're doing. I'm hearing that also in Rotary's, Kiwanis groups. I'm hearing that everybody's getting out there. Our community is feeling much more connected to us because of that. And I want to thank everyone for that. So with no further business presented forward, I am going to adjourn this meeting at 1:08 p.m. Thank you.
Very good, Madam Chair.